My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's wilde.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is Patricia, and I'm sitting down today with Whitney Yarnell, founder and CEO of Sojourn Healing Collective. A quick explanation, Sojourn is nestled in the community of Bankers Hill near downtown San Diego. Sojourn is a healing center that provides an integrative approach to total well-being through the unique combination of offerings such as yoga, sound healing, Reiki, meditation, massage, acupuncture, intuitive guidance, workshops, and community events. Sojourn allows their clients to customize their wellness and healing plan, inspiring healing and realization of one's greatest potential from within. So welcome, Whitney.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Patricia.
I am excited too. A quick roadmap of what we're going to be doing today. As always, for everyone listening, so you can refer back to it. We're going to cover a brief academic background or an early professional life of Whitney's. Then we'll drop straight into her founding of Sojourn Healing Collective, as well as any other current endeavors she has going on and questions therein, from the technical as far as funding and year it was started up to some of the more philosophical as to why she's included certain elements in her practice. Then we'll go into goals that Whitney has for the next 3 years regarding Sojourn, as well as any other projects she has on the horizon. And we will wrap everything up with advice that Whitney has for those looking to kind of imitate and mirror what she has done or even get involved with Whitney and her endeavors right now. So a quick bio on Whitney before I start peppering her with questions. Whitney is an intuitive soul healer, best-selling author, and the founder of Sojourn Healing Collective, a welcoming place for people to come as they are, align with their true purpose, and feel supported as they grow to their greatest potential. Her personal healing journey brought her face-to-face with traumatic events, leaving her feeling alone as she moved through the pain of grief and loss. Through it all, she was able to uncover her divine purpose as a spiritual teacher, mentor, and creator of Sojourn, a welcoming space where no one would ever feel unsupported again. Whitney manages the collective, in addition to offering private healing sessions, Reiki, and customized coaching programs for spiritual business owners or those seeking further to align their soul's purpose. And I'm really excited. I do want to say, before I ask, we'll drop into Whitney's questions, this month on Patricia's Kathleen podcast with founders and female entrepreneurs is that we are focusing on women's health. And so I'm so excited to be speaking with Whitney today as her businesses and endeavors are specifically generated towards health. And for the purposes of this podcast, we'll be talking about women's health. So, Whitney, will you take us straight into your academic background and early professional life?
Absolutely. So, I attended in, I'm assuming that's, do you want me to go further back than that? Or
wherever you want. There? No, I got you. Yeah, college sounds okay. Great.
Cool. So, I grew up in restaurants and the hospitality industry. So, it seemed kind of like a natural progression for me to continue that into a management career. So I went to school at Johnson & Wales University in Providence, Rhode Island, And my major was in international hotel and resort management. So at that time, I had really seen the vision for my life was to essentially be running resorts all over the world and traveling and having that type of a lifestyle. I'm assuming we'll get a little bit deeper into the story as we go, but as time went on, I got a job in New York City right after college working for the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, an iconic hotel in New York City. It was a dream of mine at the time. And I went through their management training program, was kind of being primed for that management role. And there were several things that were happening in my life at the time regarding healing and just exploring some of my natural gifts and things like that. And I had some pretty big downloads that wasn't really the path for me. Mm-hmm. And so I went on a sort of soul journey out to California and had this realization that I needed to be in San Diego and I needed to work my way out of my current career as a sales manager at a hotel company and starting this collective. And that became really abundantly clear to me in my early 20s that was my path. So I worked towards it gradually, but eventually was able to quit my full-time job in the corporate sector and transition into an entrepreneurial journey, which...
Absolutely.
Few years now.
So were there any key elements that you took from kind of the, you know, resort industry, hotel management into when you were founding Sojourn Healing Collective? Were there aspects of it, be them technical or emotional, that you kind of wanted to either incorporate or resist against?
Can you repeat the first part of that question? Sorry, I was breaking up.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if, what were there key elements in, given your background in the resort and hospitality industry, and I'm wondering if there were one aspects that you either rebelled against and thought, I'm definitely not going to include that because it is not ingratiating in forming a business, or were there pieces that you took with you as these kind of architectural building blocks?
Absolutely, I love that question. The one thing that pops into my mind immediately is just the training that I received and part of my job in the hospitality industry that I loved was getting to know each client so intimately that I knew what their preferences were. I could anticipate the needs that they had when they would arrive and could make their experience really unique and special. And so that's something I've tried to incorporate majorly in Sojourn is making sure I know what's happening in people's lives, especially in a healing space. A lot of people are really open to sharing that and love when people are asking follow-up questions about their healing journey or what's happening with their family, and just feeling really seen and heard. So that's something I've been really focused on and encouraging my team to develop with clients as well.
Yeah. So when did you launch Sojourn? What year was it founded? And did you take any capital or seed money to start it up, or was it bootstrapped?
I had been saving for my entire life. And so a lot of the startup capital was my own savings in an IRA that I had accumulated over time. So a majority of it was from there. I had one specific investor, and then the rest was really bootstrapped. So that helped me to get off the ground, but everything from our grand opening on was
here. Well, I'm sorry, I lost you for 1 minute there. Everything from the grand opening on was...
Oh, it was really left open to me to develop and to spirit, or if you believe in a higher power, that's what I was really banking on.
Excellent. What made you decide on the location? I feel like in a business and a startup of this sort, the location is interesting. It can be dynamic, and with so many virtual clients and things like that we'll get into, maybe there's an aspect of what you do that's kind of climbing into that. but its location, you know, can be as important or as unimportant. What made you guys choose your particular location of Bankers Hill, which for those of you listening that aren't from San Diego, Bankers Hill is kind of nestled up right up near a really fun spot in the city. It's well surrounded by a bunch of different areas and not too far from the downtown epicenter. Mm. So what part made you decide on Bankers Hill?
I did a lot of research, especially around the location, and I would spend days after my corporate job driving around looking for the exact community that I wanted to start in. And I kept coming back to Bankers Hill over and over again, and I just honestly felt drawn to it. And then the more that I researched the surrounding area, it looked like there wasn't something even remotely similar to what I was starting in the immediate area. And it also seemed to be a developing community as far as residential and businesses coming in. So it seemed like there was a lot of opportunity there as well. So those were my main decision makers.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder, because I think it's a clever area, especially for I feel like your market is going to be, you know, any young adult from say 18 all the way up to 80. But like, you know, these markets of having people who are really, you know, looking at growing different aspects that it sounds like you get into even with business optimization and things like that by aligning people's internal workings, suits is very suited towards anywhere from 20 to 50. And Bankers Hill feels like it has that community. You know, it feels like it's profiled in that way. So that's cool. So when you, what year did you say you founded it in?
2017.
And how was the first year of growth? Was it out the gate rough? Was it a windfall of success?
It was pretty much slow and steady for the first year. We were able to really track growth. It's the second year has been extremely rewarding for us to see how much our classes have grown and how much our workshops have grown. Just the name being out in the community, having some brand awareness. And lately I've been really honored that some spiritual leaders that I really look up to have been seeking us out to host workshops and things like that. So
nice. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, how did you originally come upon, well, how many people did you take on? How many people that worked underneath the collective? And then how did you meet those people to begin with? And what made you decide kind of the early structure of how you built the company and the people and the talent within it?
Well, I feel like I need to go back to sort of my vision to give you an idea of how it all started. So in my early 20s, I was going through a lot of healing of my own. So healing my body as well as some traumatic events that happened to me in my teen years. That led me to some dark years and some mental health issues and things like that. And I decided I wanted to go the natural route with everything. I didn't want to take medication and do the traditional therapy route. So I sought out different types of healers, just kind of dabbling and seeing what resonated with me. I saw an Ayurvedic practitioner, Reiki healer, was doing all types of different yoga and meditation practices. And so at that point, I was living in New York, and I had this massive download that seemed kind of like a big awakening that I needed to found the space that had all of the people that supported me on my journey in one place for easy access, and so that the journey didn't have to feel so lonely, because I felt like I was just shooting in the dark when I was going through this.
Yeah.
So that was where it originally started. And then fast forward a few years, I moved out to San Diego. I decided to do my yoga teacher training just to dive deeper into my yoga practice. Had no real intention of teaching yoga or anything like that, but just wanted to learn more. And my training group was just an incredible group of people, and a lot of them healers and coming into their own abilities. Mm-hmm. And so I shared my vision with several people in that group, and they were all in on whatever I was planning to do. And so that's really how it started. I found a little bit of a tribe there, And several of them still work at Sojourn today or teach classes there, or just all around supporting. So that's really where it started. And then along the way, I found a couple of other people just organically in my community that I reached out to and said, here's what I'm doing. Are you interested in being part of something like that? Mm-hmm. And so just kind of gathering tribe before I even found a space or founded the business, really. So that was the first 6 months of having left my job before I started the business. Mm-hmm. Was gathering these people together. We did little pop-up workshops and classes here and there. And we're just kind of building awareness before we even got started.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. And it started actually with an interview I did in Sweden this last year. But there's a new wave, which I think is just brilliant, of people, you know, doing like pop-up meetups or anything in between. In your instance, it sounds like a workshop or things like that to kind of develop the clientele and brand awareness. I talked to a woman who did it even for a full year before she started so that she had, you know, a really base clientele that was prepared mm-hmm. to come in. Did you do it significantly or just a few times? Did you feel like you got a great return from that, or at least a lot of feedback from the community, or what did you garner most from that?
I think what we got the most was brand awareness and just excitement of building up the space and letting people know, like, this is where we're going to be. This is what we're going to be offering. It wasn't particularly profitable or extreme. Like, we didn't sell out every event or anything like that, but it was more so like sharing with each of our individual communities helped to develop the tribe and lead them to a place where everyone would be.
Right. Absolutely. So when you started, like, as far as the nuts and bolts, when you found this space, did you have to retrofit it? Like, for those in the audience listening who are just kind of like, that makes my head spin. Like, looking at commercial real estate for a lot of people is like, I don't even know how to like buy a doghouse properly. Like, looking at a place to rent for my business sounds daunting. Did you know what you were looking for? Because there's so much. As someone who's done yoga secretly for years now, you know, there's a lot of different yoga studios and people have been very creative, and healing studios even more so, you know, with massage or Reiki or all of those different things. You can take anything from a Victorian house in San Francisco to a warehouse loft in, you know, in New York City and really create unique spaces. Did you know what you were doing when you went into it, or did you let the spaces speak to you?
I did a little bit of a combination. So I knew the floor plan that I was ideally looking for. I was hoping for about 5 different treatment rooms, a big retail area, and then a large room for the yoga and other classes and workshops. So I knew my square footage requirements and the floor plan that I wanted, but I did have a lot of difficulty going on my own. In that process, as I mentioned earlier, I was driving around looking at spaces and searching online and sort of spinning my wheels, just like not really knowing where to start. Mm-hmm. And I got into one initial negotiation with a business, and they were definitely taking advantage of me, and I knew that right away. And so I sort of pumped the brakes. My brother's in real estate, so I was like, what do you suggest I do? And he linked me up with a commercial real estate agent here in San Diego. And so from then on out, the process was super easy because I had somebody going to bat for me. Mm-hmm. So that would be my main suggestion to anybody that's looking for space. It feels like you can kind of go on your own for some people maybe, but it's so much more effective to have someone else negotiating for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting that kind of, that's the kind of thing that I feel like it, regardless of how sage someone is or, you know, the Jill of all trades, it's like, there's going to be these holes in ones. I had a friend years ago who opened her own hair salon, and it didn't occur to her that you know, that having two public bathrooms would be ideal, you know, and just for the setup, not for the washing stations or anything like that, but had she done it again, she would have just gotten a space that had two separate. And that kind of a thing is very interesting. And I think it comes from speaking with a mentor or somebody who's a little bit knowing in the field. And real estate seems to be one of those. So did you do any like retrofitting on the infrastructure, or was everything in place in the place that you found? You took over another, it sounds like, space that was very similar to your practice.
Mm-hmm. We had some changes that I made. I built a wall that would separate the offices from this yoga studio, did some new flooring and things like that. But structurally, there was only one big change, which would be that wall.
Okay. And you felt confident in whomever was advising you or however much you had researched it to do all of that. So even that, I'm like, how do you build that cost in? How long does it take? Like all of those things start to come into play. It's a fascinating like turn and twist of things. And so when you opened, you guys had a grand opening and things like that. Were the scheduling, everything was working out with that? Or did you hire an office manager, like outsourcing? Did you take everything on yourself? How were those roles kind of delineated?
I initially took everything on myself, and I was there constantly for almost the first year until I felt like I really needed to bring somebody else on. I did have a marketing assistant helping me with promotion and all of the marketing materials. But operationally, I was the go-to, and I was working the desk and making sure that everyone was checked in and staffing and all of that. I took on myself, and I felt like I was sort of prepared for that role as well, from my hospitality background and some other research I did along the way. So it didn't feel too, daunting for me, but it was exhausting after a while to be there 24/7.
Yeah. What were your hiring techniques? Where did you go to find your marketing person? And then eventually, you know, this office assistant, did you go to specific places or did you post an ad on Craigslist? Like what happened?
Yeah. I've actually never posted for anyone, to come in and work at the space. It's all been really organic. And now luckily we're being sought out by seasoned yoga teachers and marketing people, and we're being sought out. So that's wonderful. But I would say just like for anyone starting anything, tune into your local community, because you never know who's going to come out of the woodwork or who knows somebody who knows somebody. So really just putting feelers out to those people that you know and trust around you. That's been the most successful thing for me personally in hiring.
Absolutely. And so the marketing person just came kind of organically out of someone who wanted to work with the collective.
Yeah, a friend of one of our healers who had actually just left her corporate marketing job and was looking for something new that was more aligned with where she wanted to go with her life and her path.
That's fantastic. I like the idea that, you know, it came from, it sounds like the part for the pop-up and the early work that you did towards getting the word out there. So can you walk us through Sojourn Healing Collective, like a little bit more about how it's set up and the programs involved and you yourself, like your particular emphasis there?
Yeah, definitely. So we have, as I mentioned, a retail lobby area. We have a yoga studio, and then five different treatment rooms. So we handle, personally, I handle all of the workshops and special events, scheduling the classes. We have between 4 to 7 classes per day, and then a couple of workshops every week as well. So those are all under the umbrella of Sojourn. And then our offices are all independent contractors. So they have their own business entity that operates within Sojourn. So their scheduling, payment, et cetera, is all handled themselves. So if you go to our website, there's a page called Our Healers. So you can see who works out of our space and the people on our team. And then they handle their own clientele. So that's really the structure. We have memberships, unlimited yoga, meditation, and breathwork memberships. And then we have a membership that includes all of the events and workshops as well. So we have several options on just, you can also just drop in for a class or buy a handful of classes to take. So we operate similar to any other yoga or meditation studio. We just have more offerings, I like to think, and more options to dive into a healing journey.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like there's just different kinds of classes that you can kind of take and then even go off and work with someone in specific if that person is, you know, really in tune with you. So you personally, do you take on specific clients, or is there anything different from these like foundation classes that you do at the center that you work with in particular, like an area of specialty?
So I started out teaching a lot of different yoga classes and some meditation as well. And where my path has led is to give some of those up and make space in my life for new things. So at the moment I'm teaching workshops. I have a couple of workshops actually this coming week, all about the intention of the studio this month. And we tune into some astrology around that and how to really infuse that into your life. So this month is all about the Libra energy is all about partnership and thriving as a community. So tuning into your life and reflecting on all of your relationships, including that relationship with yourself and figuring out how you can be more, show up better for yourself and those around you, and also receive better from everyone around you. So that's one aspect of what I do. I also have an entrepreneur group. That's this Friday. So we bring in different experts in the entrepreneurial space, and it's really all about leading with your intuition in business, but we bring in different tools and different leaders in the community to assist with different things. So that's something I do. I do one-on-one business mentorship for those who have heart-centered or spiritual businesses and want to lead from a place of authenticity and really understanding their path as a soul and why they're here on this planet and how to incorporate that into a business and really thrive.
That's fascinating. I think that's the first time I've heard about the, like, an entrepreneur aspect being taken into some of these kinds of healing, you know, techniques and things like that. I think it's really useful as well, because one of the things that even like VCs and angel investors will talk about is clarity, you know, of what you're doing and your goal and, the roadmap as to how to, the architecture as to how to get there. And it sounds like these are like directly concerning that, as long, you know, and aligning them with the founder that's driving them. That sounds really cool. What about women's health in specific? Do you guys ever come in and, I know that your clientele is, you know, both genders and all genders in between. I was wondering, as far as, do you guys ever take a specific approach to women's health or women like time periods of life, you know, say anything from stressful time periods that like looks like you're addressing, but there's pregnancy, there's menopause, there's all sorts of time periods. Have you yourself, even just as a personal practitioner, addressed those issues, or the clinic as a whole?
We have different practitioners specialized in women's health for sure. We have an acupuncturist who's really seasoned in that type of work, both in pregnancy and pre-pregnancy or trying to get pregnant, and menopause. So I am always referring people to her for those specific things. We do have some women's circles. One circle that's a trauma healing circle. So anything that people have experienced in their past, and trauma doesn't have to be anything like extremely significant, but things that have weighed on you and caused you physical trauma as well over a long time. So trauma healing workshops, we have a new moon circle every month that's all women, and we meet and just gather as women and discuss some of the issues coming up in our lives and set some right. So ours is really more of like a holistic approach. I don't dive into any specific issues, but I'm really excited about a partnership with a company called Be Well, and they're a cancer recovery nonprofit. So that's something we're doing we're launching that next month, is bringing cancer recovery patients in for private tailored yoga classes. Mm-hmm. So they can really receive what they need out of a class. And it's taken at a really slow, beautiful pace that's all their own. So that's something that's coming up next month that we're really excited about.
That sounds fantastic. So what are your, like, I always like to say, not just logistical goals, but what are your almost philosophical endeavors or goals for yourself as well as Sojourn Healing Collective for like the next 3 years? Where would you like to see everything in 3 years?
So I eventually would like to expand and have more of these centers that I have in San Diego. But my long-term goal, probably beyond 3 years, but it's to have a retreat center where people can spend a specific length of time diving into their own healing and really feeling supported in all ways. So eventually I'd like to have a retreat center. But short-term goal within 3 years is to develop different retreats that sort of allow for that on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. So I'm leading a retreat next year in Bali. Sojourn specifically has a retreat coming up in June in Costa Rica. So forming these opportunities for people to have a longer period of time diving into their own healing and spirituality and really growing from that week or whatever it is that they're taking time out of their day-to-day schedule.
Absolutely. Retreats are huge right now, you know, not just on the individual or friendship base, but corporate retreats. I think it's one of the most amazingly booming businesses economically. And then I also think that it's getting really diversified, which I think is very cool. You know, I think that people are bringing in different aspects of retreats and making it kind of this well-rounded event. I know a lot of different corporate cultures that are doing retreats based on healthy living and healing from like the dietary that they bring into the retreat all the way to the activities. And like classes taught there, even about like sleep awareness and stuff that I was like, that's awesome. That's totally going to improve their bottom line. You know, that's going to translate really economically. So absolutely, that's fantastic. I love that goal. And I absolutely see it for you as well. So if a young woman walked up to you tomorrow, or a female young woman identified individual, and said, listen, I've just graduated from university in Rhode Island. I love Providence, but I'm coming to San Diego. I really want to start this healing center, kind of self-motivated by my own testimony. What are the top three pieces of advice that you would give her, knowing what you know now?
I would say the number one thing, and this exact question does come up for me a lot, people that want to create something like what I've created, and the first thing that I always say is to make sure that you are coming from a place of wholeness and making your own healing a priority, walking your own walk, talking your own talk. Mm-hmm. So that's my first suggestion, is to really look inward and make sure that you're ready to offer this to the world. Mm-hmm. And then to really trust the unfolding of your path and how it's all going to come to be. One thing that I really had to release along my journey was expectation of how everything's going to come to be. And you of course have your vision and your goal, but it's not always going to happen exactly the way that you anticipate. So just trusting that you know enough and you are enough to know what to do next when that time comes and however it comes. Mm-hmm. And then just continue taking inspired action towards whatever it is that your dream is. And I say inspired action because I think it's so important that we're not just doing things because we were told or we think that that's the next thing to do, but what really up about what you're doing, do that next and make that happen next. So
absolutely. So come from a place of wholeness, trust the unfolding, and continue taking inspired actions. Mm-hmm. Those are awesome. I totally agree. And I've always wondered how because, you know, a lot of the, you know, the healing things that happen, I think there's, it's an interesting dichotomy because there's a business behind it that you do have to run, and incorporating the actual techniques of, you know, the craft and the trade and the techniques back into the business would be interesting to see if it could ever happen. And it sounds like you're kind of doing that with these pieces of advice about, you know, trusting the unfolding and things like that, because you could just run the business strictly from a business. You could have two hats, teach your mm-hmm. yoga, do the Reiki when you need to, and then put your business hat back on. But it's cool to kind of try and make those two worlds have a conversation because they are living underneath your roof, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think that our business is part of our energy field and part of us. So if yeah. we're not living in full alignment with our business and running it as we would run our own life, then it's not in full authenticity. And it can't be as successful as it could be if you were all in alignment with everything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that there is, I haven't met anyone, at least in the past year or two, that hasn't acknowledged the power of looking at some type of meditation, be it yoga, you know, even as, and yoga has so many different forms of it. It can become almost acrobatic all the way down to very mm-hmm. breath-based, but it's in and of itself a breath-based technique. And looking at Reiki and all of those things, you know, it's taken over. I hope that everybody knows that these are, you know, practices that are crucial to kind of really unearthing, especially as entrepreneurs or business titans, our true potential, you know, as mm-hmm. women and women identified individuals, pretty much anyone, I think, across the board. But I love that your studio is doing it. And I've heard that I have not been over. I will bounce over and check you guys out. For those of you listening, we're doing this on podcast because of schedules restraints. But I've heard great, great things from a lot of different people who are avid followers of Sojourn Healing Collective and this space in general. I think that you do a really good job of keeping your, you know, the ethos of your company right where you're presenting it, which is just a place of healing and wellness and continued maintenance of the mind and body. So I think that's rad.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I want to say thank you so much, Whitney, for taking some time today. I will circle back. I love to come back and find out about how businesses are going. And since you guys are still, you know, a newer business, I can't wait to circle back next year and find out what new things. And by that time, I will have been to a class. We can talk all about it and all of that. But I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and speaking with us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for giving me your time and ear for an hour. Until we speak again, Slunsha.